to...
Hey, everybody on the internet. Nice to have you. What time is it? We still have a minute to go. People are still checking in. So.
Hey, Wynn, I reset that question to you.
Oh, you know what? I think I wrote your question down anyway. That's your uncle?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I just resent it to you just now.
Want to jump in, Terry?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Terry.
Good evening. This is my Terry from Sedona.
Hey.
Over here with a beautiful full moon.
I know, and we know your voice. We know your voice. You're wonderful. You have a good evening, young lady.
You're sounding a little like Don Newsom tonight, Terry.
Oh, really? I never did that before.
Yeah, you have to say, Wynn, we love you! for those of you listening on the internet, you missed it, but Don came in. You know, he comes in just before we go on. And he is a guy that started DBS. And in fact, Don and I had one of the first shows on DBS called The Don and Wynn Show. Hey, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Wynn. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Don.
Who's the gentleman from Tennessee?
Fred, Eagle River, Alaska.
Hi, Fred. I like your Tennessee accent.
Thanks.
Jim, are you here?
Sedona Jim?
Sedona Jim.
No. At least I haven't heard him come in.
I think the show took him by surprise today.
He's on point.
So?
I think he was surprised. The time got away from him, and he was making a beautiful dinner of chicken wings and things. And
okay. Hey, is Lou there by any chance? Hello, Lou. Okay. Let me mute you all. And for those of you, if there's any of you that are listening in for the first time, what we have on this call is what I've learned to describe as a group energy. And it's not just a group energy. It's a group energy of us, and these guys on the other side, which call themselves group souls. And, you know, you can always tell if there's a group energy present. And how do you tell? Well, one way is when you stop talking, there's energy in the space, like here. So in the course of your day, you can test things. Stop talking. If everyone suddenly jumps in to fill the space, there's no group energy. And well, I won't say there's none, but it's minimal, okay? Because when there's group energy, we're combining our soul streams. We don't see this, so this is my theory. We're combining our soul streams in other dimensions, and it creates us being individual and a group at the same time. And it's totally free will. It's totally of the moment. There's no getting stuck in it. And it's just, it it's another way of saying what Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. Because he did group energy. And, you know, he inspired it. I don't say he did it. I don't do it. I just inspire it. And I hold the intention for it. And then it's a new way of feeling the world. And ultimately, you guys are, on some level or another, going to be learning how to do that, I hope. And I don't know how you're going to do it, because everyone does it differently. And but you can test it by seeing if there's energy in space. You know, sometimes you can just be with somebody and say, hey, let's be quiet for a moment and do a meditation. And if immediately that energy comes in, you're doing it. You're learning how to do it. And who knows what other ways you'll think of. Because when you do it, it's a totally unique expression of that moment. It's not a technique. It's an intention. It's holding the intention. And we have our Wednesday question and answer call tonight. And let me open up to our questions. Let me see if there's any last minute questions. Hang on a second. No questions there. And here's a question from Lorena. I sent it to the wrong place. Lorena, be sure I can miss these things. Send it to questions@messageaday.net. No, questions@intelligentinfinity.com. Although the other one will work, I don't check it. And she got my email. This is not a Christmas meditation, which is what it says. Hang on. We thank you all for being here. And David, you sent your email to the wrong email as well, but I do have it from last week, okay? So what happens is on these calls, you probably all know, but I'll just say it. We have been communicating to intelligences that speak with and through Terry. And what's commonly called channeling. And on Wednesday, we offer you all the opportunity to submit a question, which we will ask on your behalf. And this is unrehearsed. We don't know what they're going to say. Terry has never seen the questions. This will happen spontaneously on the line. So we start off with an invocation just to focus the group energy. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity to take them to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields the planet Earth through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And right now, I'll ask our sources to introduce themselves.
This is Ra'an. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. The forces tonight are very strong with the energy between the moon and the earth. And we suggest that at this time you take care in the things that you do, as there is a strong influence from the full moon at this time. And we take a moment and we greet each and every one of you. And we are delighted to make this connection and to be with you this day. Do you have questions?
Yes. Our first question is from Mary Jones in Dallas. I have heard the Elohim say many times that we have to ask for help. Knowing that we have already chosen to go through many of the circumstances that we face here on Earth in this lifetime, is it better to try to figure out a solution than to request help from our sources? Should we be experiencing situations rather than asking for help to solve our problems? I was raised a Catholic. Most of my family still practices. My mom spends an inordinate amount of time saying the rosary. I know for her this is beneficial, because she totally believes in it. There are times when I will also say the rosary as a calming process, but I'm not sure anymore that saying the same rhetoric is beneficial for me. Can our sources comment?
Thank you. When you ask, you are putting it into words or thoughts and projecting out what it is that you would wish. This act in itself can help manifest what you want. It can alert the higher forces, the angels, us also, that you are seeking help in an area, and then this grants us the right to come and to help you. If you live through the experiences that you have come to learn and to experience, that is also good. However, you can receive extra help and Godspeed by asking and focusing what it is that you would desire. The reaching out, the changes, the growth that you would like to make. It helps to also ask when an individual is in the third density. Sometimes they can develop a pattern in childhood, and they can develop a belief in childhood that then it transfigures their thought. So every time they come across a particular problem, they think of it in a certain way because they have learned from their childhood that it is that way. However, if they were to look outside of themselves, they can then see that others do not act in that way or do not have that same response, and people do not respond to others in the way that one may think that people are going to respond to them. This can broaden one's horizon and can call into question some of the habit patterns. It causes a person to continually recycle the problem and not move out of the box that they are in and move forward. We hope this helps.
Thank you. Those of you that ask questions, I think you'll note, even when you ask questions on this call, most of the time, the questions don't take away your own requirement to make your own decisions. The thing about asking for help, this is me talking, my opinion, is that you're asking, if the law of one is real, if the universe is one energy, you're only asking for the higher aspects of yourself, which we could call the Elohim or the Ra. But when I say high, they're kind of so up there that we have lost touch. But in this, in the greatest sense, greatest interaction, we are co-creators with them. But, you know, we don't have all our spark plugs running. So when we get their help, then we start to fire up more spark plugs, and we have more power, more manifestation power. And let me just make sure they agree with what I'm saying. Is that accurate to you?
Yes. You can fill in some of the gaps. You also put your own matrix into harmony. You align your higher self with the higher realm, the angelic realm, the Ra and the Elohim realm. And in this alignment, you sort out some of the things that have been in your way and see things and can move forward.
Thank you. Next question, and this is from Edna in Snohomish, Washington. How can we stay balanced in this difficult time of shift? Everything seems to be going crazy around me. I try to be in the moment and picture myself in a circle of light or inside of the love light energy, but it is a challenge to keep myself there. Everything around me keeps pulling me out of the place I want to be, which is the peaceful, loving mind. What can I do? Thank you.
Thank you. You have not only your own being, your own self, but you have the body matrix that is living in the third density. And the body matrix itself, the cells, take up the vibrations and the thoughts of those around you, and they help pull you off of center. When one is totally their own self, it is easier to stay focused. In a sense, your body is copying the attitudes and the frame of mind and the thoughts of those around you. And even though you are working very hard to stay centered, this can pull you off. It is like a radio station that has a bunch of other stations coming in. You have a radio, and you have tuned to a certain frequency. However, there's a bunch of other frequencies and other radio stations that are coming in on top of that radio station, and it tends to misalign your tuning. Tuning is a very big aspect that you tune yourself to your center, down the chakra system, to align the chakra system, and you tune yourself up through the crown chakra to the higher frequencies. Even if you do it for one moment and get the sense of it, this can be a reference point for you, and learn to discard other thoughts, irrelevant thoughts, thoughts of other people, thoughts of society. Learn to just let them flow through you and on without reworking them or working on them. We send you love light.
Thank you. When somebody's in that situation where they're picking up all the energies from people around them, in what circumstances is it best to withdraw from those people? And in what circumstances are you learning lessons from those people?
That is a good question. When you can see the thought that is flowing through you and decide upon the relevance. Sometimes thoughts that flow through you are very relevant, even though they may not be yours. They're something that needs to be considered in your environment. For instance, you may pick up some danger in the environment, and then when it is actual danger, then it needs to be considered and looked at and evaluated. So discernment in the thoughts that are coming to you and moving through you is very important.
Thank you.
Your guides are with you.
Thank you. Next question. In one of our sessions, Terry was channeling, and she told of an incident in which a Native American chief, possibly he was a ghost, I think he was a ghost, was trying to drive the settlers out of his land. The Elohim, I think, sent him a beam of love light energy. He reached his hand into the light, he liked it, and then stepped into the light and disappeared. If so, could the Elohim send similar beams of love light information to people in the third dimension, giving them the totally free will option of touching the beam or not? The longer someone touched the beam, the more download they would get. The disappearing part should probably be left optional. Can you comment on this? That's from Don Herman.
The Indian chief did not disappear. He disappeared from the third density, and he moved into the higher realms where he could be thus worked with and could express his grievance. And he could fulfill his objective within his own framework by communicating what it is that he has so long wanted to have for his people, a peaceful community, a harmonious, exciting community. When we place the beam of light next to him, the beam of light was a converter. It is similar to the tunnel of light, which allows transport of an individual from the third density to the higher densities, to the heaven density, where a person can reestablish themselves and can obtain healing from their third density experience. This tunnel of light is placed next to a person when that person is ready to cross over, is ready to experience a transition to the higher realm, and is a help to them to cross over. There are within the tunnel of light beings, radiant beings, that help the person dislodge the holders that keep them forever in the same cycle, helps them to free their attention and energy so they can move into a better circumstance for themselves. We do not place the tunnel of light indiscriminately. It is a deeply connected possibility of experience for those who may be ready to take the next step in their transition and growth experience.
In this situation, we obviously asked a question about it, and it seems to me the question was important in drawing your attention to the situation, whereas if we did not ask the question, might your attention never have been drawn?
We have the free will clause, so that the question was drawn to the settlers, to the new people in the community who were in terrible conflict by their presence with the Indian spirits who had been displaced and were unable to recreate their community in that area. It pointed up and drew the attention of the Indian chief, which he was looking at, trying to solve in his own way, drew his attention to communication about his situation, which he was then able to make movement in his situation. He was able to communicate how disrupted he was, how upset he was. And this communication of his position was enough to unstick him, as he had had no one to communicate with and was holding the line strongly, and the Indians were around him and were still in the spiritual pattern of the tribe. And it set the whole tribe free as he freed up his energy.
Thank you. Next question is, this is from Dave in Mesa. He had a dream a week or so ago. He writes here 2 days, but I guess about a week now, about his uncle, George. I don't know if you said that George or Jorge. Say George. He disappeared when I was 16. The family sent out a private investigator to find him with no results. In my dream, he looked at me unhappy and said nothing. This is Lynn's comment. We don't know if it was his uncle that looked at him or his mock-up of his uncle in his own imagination. But the way Dave wrote it, he looked at me in the dream. And I tried to redream last night and asked him to come back, but no luck. Was he trying to tell me something, if anything? Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. There is a connection there between you and your uncle. And he does remember you, and he does think about you with kind thoughts. He was sad to leave, and it was not entirely of his own doing. There were circumstances beyond his control, and he was sad, and you review that accurately. He was sad for his disappearance from yours and the other lives, and he is letting you know that he honored the connection and was sad to not be able to continue that connection. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, and this is from Robin in Orange County, who is going through a kind of a collapse in her life right now, which she perceives as a collapse. And her question is, hang on. Why is everything seemingly collapsing into a black hole financially, despite all my efforts, positive affirmations, helping people, attending the calls, meditating, dozens of job interviews, and hundreds of resumes sent out? I've done everything I can, and nothing is working. Why is this?
Thank you. Grasp the energy of the fleeting energy of a success. Grasp the energy as you are in the energy of what you have described. Place yourself even for a minute or less simply in an energy of succeeding. You can move into a situation temporarily with somebody, an acquaintance, another person who is succeeding, and try that over yourself. Move past the feeling that you are not there or cannot be there. See if you can feel yourself for an instant there. This is the heart of the situation. There is a mind-bending that has passed down from your childhood, that things are very difficult. See if you can see the mind bend when you are in a group of people. How do you feel? Do you feel that you are a success? When you are in a group of people that look like they are succeeding, do you still feel that you are not? This is a mind bend, because this is placing you in the energy of not succeeding. However, you, if you can know that you are beautiful, that you are worthwhile, that you can do it, that you can succeed, you can have the energy it takes, the confidence it takes to step out of that and to move forward and know that that depression is not you, that the downward feeling is not you, and to learn to transmute that energy, that will place you in the energy of success. This may take work and practice. Also look to your past and see if there was something happened in your past when you were little that you felt that way at that time, like it was useless play. It was very hard. And although the people around you at the time seem like they're the ones with the keys, with the knowledge, with the power, if you can know that you have the keys, the knowledge, and the power, and they might not have been absolutely correct.
When a situation...
Hey, Wynn, this is Joel. I have to interrupt for a second. We have not turned the recording on here today. I was waiting for...
Oh, thank you for...
This conference is being recorded.
You know what? We'll have to download the recording from BBS, because they're recording it. Okay. But thank you for reminding me. I wanted to ask a question here on this question. Oftentimes, when a person is experiencing something like this, they feel they're a victim. And they start to apply it as a blame to external sources, like something's wrong with the world, or something's wrong with the Elohim, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And if they said there's something wrong with me, they'd have to be judging themselves. But how do they get to access the pattern that they're holding in their unconscious? How do they access that and shift it?
One of the ways is through observation. It is pretty hard sometimes to see yourself because it seems so natural. It seems like that's the way things are, and it is hard to see that it is something, it is a frame in your framework in your mind that you are carrying, because it seems so natural. It seems like that's just the way things are. When you are able to access the connection with others, the success, the feeling of success, the feeling of not being a victim, the feeling of loving and being loved back. When you're able to do that, then you can see that what one was doing before was not satisfying, was not fulfilling. And it is not wrong. And the temptation is to say, well, you know, I'm wrong, or I'm, I have a deficiency. But the matter of it is that it came with a package of training, and to be able to let it go and to then see, without making yourself wrong for it. Making yourself wrong only makes you more of a victim and makes matters worse. It just takes some cool-headed looking. Think daily how beautiful you are. Think daily something you have done right, something you have made succeed. Think of a time when somebody expressed love to you. Think of a time when your family were laughing and things seemed better. These experiences can help you move. And within your matrix to move back and forth from the depression to the not so depressed, to the funny, to the jokes, to the laughter, to the anger, to the frustration. When you can get to move and not try to hold yourself in one position, you can get to move with the moment. This will also help you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lorena in Long Beach. My uncle, which was my mom's brother, passed away this past Thursday, and I would like to know if he's in a peaceful place right now. And if not, can you please guide him? Does he have a message for his daughters and the rest of the family? Thank you very much.
Thank you. He is occupied with his new means of existence right now. He is slowly getting used to his circumstance, and it may take him some time to adjust. He is moving slowly. He is still connected to the body matrix, and he is getting used to his body not being there for him. And this will take some getting used to. His attention right now is on that he loves his daughters very much, and the elder family. But his attention right now is on getting used to his new situation. And later on, he will be able to move out of that circumstance into a broader circumstance. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Todd. And we have had a couple talks in the past about crop circles. And it was indicated that the crop circles were a creation of the Ra group. And Todd says, what is the meaning of crop circles? Legitimate crop circles seem to have energy to them, and it can't be explained how they created or created. And what is the meaning of the symbols of the crop circles? And does the location on the planet where they are formed have any significance? And I would add, why are so many of them being created in England? Thank you.
Thank you. We look over the history of the crop circles, and it goes back to the 500s and earlier. And we see that there is more than one source of crop circles. There are the man-made, but we are not referring to those. There are the energy-made with the bending of the stalks of the wheat or the grain, and they're still leaving a lot of the plant, and it's still growing. These are messages to mankind. These are simulations of the planetary system. These are hopefully messages that individuals will grasp and will learn that there is other life out there. There is us, the Ra group, and we bring messages to let you know that we are there. It is a communication system. We see other crop circles engendered by technology of ETs, that they whimsically desire to connect cryptically. There are patterns, codes that simulate the solar system, that simulate planetary involvement. It is letting you know you are not alone.
Thank you. Without going into it in detail, there was that one crop circle that had a picture of a foreign intelligence on it. Can you tell us who made that crop circle?
When was it made?
This is was a couple of years ago. We had a call about it, and it was a very uncomfortable call. Strange energies came into the call.
This was the crop circle and that had the foreign body.
Right, 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 that one.
Yes. This was the symbol that there were foreign ET intelligence that were affecting things and to look into this, to be aware of this, and to integrate this into your knowledge and to take preparation. This was, in a sense, a warning.
So this was a positive. This was a positive source that made that crop circle. Yes.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. That's all our official questions for this evening. Boy, we went through those pretty quickly. Thank you so much. Why don't I ask the question? There's a lot of people that are going through symptomatic things right now, which they're calling ascension symptoms. They're believing that these symptoms are positive because they're preparing them and their body system to ascend. It could be shortness of breath, dizziness, aches, pains, etc. Could you explain if there's any truth to that?
Thank you. We suggest, rather than having a broad category of ascension symptoms, to take each symptom individually and evaluate what that symptom could be. There are metals, aluminum, strontium. There are metals that are being sprayed upon the populace, and these can give symptoms of unrealness as the metal comes into the body, can give symptoms of memory loss, symptoms of problems with the lungs. These can introduce foreign DNA into the body, and the foreign DNA can then instigate dizziness. We suggest that one be very alert as to what their symptoms are and what has caused those symptoms, so they just do not blindly be led into a sickness of this.
Thank you. Thank you. If there are channel sources who are addressing these symptoms and calling them ascension symptoms, might we think those sources are of a negative polarity?
We do not wish to make a category of channeled sources and their reactions to things. Rather, we look at it as the individual is looking at their surroundings from the best perspective that they know and can believe it, but in the long run, does it work out? Does what they are saying happen when they feel that a certain date, the date of ascension, does that date go on by? Take a very critical, accurate look, observation-wise, as to what is going on with each individual.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much for being here tonight. And this is the first time in a long time that I have forgotten to turn the tape recorder on. So we will have to download the recording from BBS and use that on the one we send out. Okay, so do you have any final comments before we close the session?
The moon has a very strong pull in the full moon at this time. And so be alert to your surroundings and careful with your emotions and your path with your day-to-day life at this particular time. Thank you.
Thank you. And on that note, we will unmute everybody. And thank you all for being here and holding the space for this call.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Again, and yesterday's, I saw today on the Coast to Coast Home page, they had a reference to apparently the Iranian government released a statement that the U.S. government was controlled by space aliens or something. I haven't had a chance to check it out, so I find it interesting.
Well, I think it's probably true.
I've heard a lot of intelligent people, sounding people say that. So. But,
yeah. I mean, I've done my own research on it. And I would draw that conclusion.
Yeah, they're implying it was they used to be with the Nazis, and then now they're in the U.S., so I've heard a lot of people say that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just a new, interesting thing. I wanted to check it out.
Okay. I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. See you next time.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Don, what's the name of it?
It's on the Coast to Coast homepage. It was. You probably just Google it. Iranian message about U.S. government control by space aliens. I would check the Coast to Coast home page first and see if it's still there because they had a link.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Right. Next time.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, all.
Night. Good night.
Goodbye.